This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It's the Q Talk America Network. This is the show on Tuesday night. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Kat Carlson and Al Perkins. We've already been through our headline segment. We caught up earlier about what you've been doing. You can catch that back on a repeat. We are broadcast 24-7. That's all day, all night, on pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. We stream all the time. All the last 3 weeks' shows go individually, 24 hours. Or you can go on demand. Pick a show you want to listen to from QTalkAmerica.com in the show listing there. Pick out anyone you want on demand, anytime, day or night, just for you. Anyway, we got about an hour, a little less than an hour to go here on the old show on this night. Kat might have something later to talk about in two things, but right now it's going to be Al Perkins and entertainment.
Well, we're going to talk about, for Anant, Nick Jonas, and Priyanka Chopra's wedding from The Cut magazine, which I just...
I saw some pictures of their wedding.
And it seems like quite the affair with Multi. Both cultures being included and a
dance-off. Oh, they had like two weddings. Yeah, they had a Hindu ceremony and then they had a whatever ceremony.
And she is...
For white people.
I don't know if there's a way for me to get this. There isn't. The picture of her in her...
I'll Google it myself. Oops, wrong one.
In her wedding dress.
I will find a picture while you tell the story.
The more traditional... traditional for our culture, wedding dress. I mean, the Indian style dress is absolutely gorgeous too, but her silhouette in that white lace is just spectacular. So, just beautiful people doing beautiful things.
Yeah.
So,
somebody described them as the most famous people that are still real boring. I don't remember what podcast I was listening to, but they're like, yeah, they're about as famous as you can get and still be really dull. But she's crazy hot and has been for a really long time. And probably will be for a really long time. I don't care who she's standing next to.
So now I'm looking at the Cut magazine. I don't see anything that implies what he does. That the article stated.
He's a Jonas brother. He sings.
Yeah, how Chopra is a global scam artist who lured pretty boy Nick Jonas into marrying him.
I'm assuming this is the white wedding.
Can you pull back a little bit to see that silhouette?
No, that's the whole picture that I just saved.
Oh, okay, because I have...
So there's that one, and then I assume is this one that...
I have this, where it's...
Is this... Oh, no, I'll look for that one.
Yeah.
And then let me send you this article.
Is this the Hindu wedding dress?
No.
The Hindu dress is red, isn't it?
Is red, and he's in...
Well, then let's go look.
Try...
Oh, there it is. Oh, I see it now. Hang on a minute.
You got it, okay.
I've got the red dress. Hang on a minute.
Breaking news right now, just for our friend Anant. You're welcome.
Look at some pictures. I mean,
so
yeah, I think it was the
this one is the
I mean, they're just beautiful. Please put your videos on Tumblr before they take it down.
We'll too call late. It art. It's too late. We're gonna have to find a new website.
December 7th. They have 5 days.
Yeah, hurry. Save what you want, people.
So there you go. Okay, so we will go to. Well, we'll start with let's see, what shall we start with? Los Angeles film critics have named Roma, and so has the New York film critics, have named Roma, the new movie by Alfonso Cuarón, as its best movie of 2018. It is playing in select theaters in Los Angeles right now, but it comes to Netflix in just 3 days because it is... last year it was Mud.
And it's called Roma?
It's called Roma. And so Alfonso Cuarón,
the traditional spelling,
who gave us "Y tu mamá también" and "Gravity" and "Children of Men," just a great, great director.
Okay.
Now tells the story of the woman, kind of like his au pair, the woman who raised him in her early life in Italy. By all accounts, I don't know. I'm still months behind in my Entertainment Weekly, so I don't know all the facts. But anyway, it is. It's winning award shows. It's getting all the buzz. And so you don't need to wait to see it at the movies. If you want to see it at the movies, it'll be at the theaters, but it'll be on Netflix
in 3 days.
Yeah, in 3 days. So it is...
I can hardly wait.
What was the movie with Mary J. Blige last year? Mud?
Blige? Yes, I think it was Mud. Was it Mud? Or Mud? Mud? blood, mud. No, that's a Harry Potter thing. Mudborn, mud.
Oh, I
mud
yeah.
Waters.
Yeah.
Red mud, mud in your car.
Here's mud in your eye.
Mud.
Mudville. I feel like it was Mudville. But let's go.
You might be right.
Mudbound. It was Mudbound.
Bound. So bound this is, by mud.
So even though Netflix has been at the game sooner, they have not won their Oscar or won an Emmy Award yet, despite all of their...
Netflix has not?
No.
Interesting.
Because the first series from a streaming service to win was The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on...
Which is fantastic, and the second season starts with the opening song from... Hello Dolly with Barbara Streisand singing it, and I was like, I'm here,
just
here I am.
Everything to me.
Yes.
If you want your chicken butter. Yeah. Yes. So anyways, so that
she's
is,
imported. Just she's leave everything to me.
So that is my next thing. If you need something to watch, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is
season two is here.
Yes,
we'll
it started
it. I'm on
like
the third
four or five days ago.
Yesterday,
what a
I think.
Charming, charming, charming mm-hmm. show by the
by the writers of Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls.
And I don't remember.
And
her
Bunheads.
Who cares? I don't care.
Sherry Palladino.
Sure.
Sure. I'm making all the right
something.
Sounds. Yeah. Terrific
we'll
show.
Up.
And what's her face? Oh, now we got to Google her, too.
I'm Googling it now. Who do you want to know? What's whose face?
Her sidekick.
Oh, what the fuck is her name?
From Family Guy.
From all the things. Stand by.
It'll come.
It's Amy Sherman.
Alex,
Alex Borstein.
Alex Borstein, who won two Emmys just this year. One for her voiceover work and the other for her character, her work on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, is just on fire. Like, that show, it's just a treat for everyone. Everyone... on that show is so well written, and it's just a
delightful.
Nice light bit of TV. It's just it's so nicely done.
And your executive producers are the producers and creators of the Gilmore Girls. It's Amy Sherman Palladino.
I told you I was making all the right sounds.
Whatever.
And so she won a couple Emmys for this because Barry that I talked about earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. Got the male awards and this got the female awards and it's just terrific. So
now I've only seen a couple. I saw like a trailer or a premiere promo for it for the new season that came out, and I've never followed the show yet.
Please do.
I should.
Yeah.
Is it?
Do you need my password?
Is no.
All right.
I have Netflix.
Amazon
it's,
Prime.
It's on Amazon. Prime.
I have that too. That's getting renewed too. Anywho, is it in modern day or is it?
No. It's set in the. 60s?
Late 50s, early 60s,
okay.
Because
it looked that way, but I'm like, maybe that's just the characters.
She runs through...
50s.
What's this? Lenny Bruce.
Yeah.
So she is starting in the age where Lenny Bruce is just starting his climb.
Okay.
So you're kind of in the early Joan Rivers, Phyllis Diller.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're in that age of... And there's a character that's supposed to be... Mobley, like there's some people that you'll kind of some people they'll name by name and some they just kind of hint at who they're supposed to be,
right?
And
okay,
just but very very well done.
All right,
so then we'll just whip through because the Golden Globe nominations, couple of interesting things that we talked about, that A Star Is Born and Bohemian Rhapsody both took themselves out of musical comedy and put themselves in drama. And it paid off. Both were nominated, along with Black Klansman, Black Panther, and If Beale Street Could Talk. Really strong nominations. Black Klansman is... now I can't think of his name either. He makes his movies are called Joints.
I don't know if you saw this posted today, but Bohemian Rhapsody is now the most streamed song ever in history.
Oh, makes sense.
Just happened.
I believe it.
Spike Lee.
Posted today.
I can't believe I couldn't remember Spike Lee. I just know that he calls his movies joints. So Black Panther, Beale Street Could Talk, coming out in the next couple of weeks. A really, really, really moving true story of a man who is accused of rape and sent to jail, and his wife and his struggle to get him out before the child is born. He's falsely accused of rape.
Wow.
And Regina Bell getting rave reviews. So that's just a loaded category.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign language film, Roma makes it here. I didn't notice that. Roma?
It's a foreign language, so we're going to be subtitled there.
Oh, so that's how they got around that. They didn't nominate Roma for Best Picture. They nominated it for Best Foreign Language Film. And in comedies, you have Green Book. Go see it. We'll talk about some of these as we go. Green Book, absolutely terrific. Tough subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to help me with all these names.
Stand by.
Mahershala Ali is terrific. He is the classical pianist mm-hmm. who's being driven around by... It's going to come to me. I can picture him, but I can't think of his name. Viggo Mortensen. And mm-hmm. he is the Bubba, the Guido that's like driving him all over the mm-hmm. place. And at one point...
His character's name is Tony Lip.
Yeah, Tony
if
Lip.
You can guess.
And it's a true story. Tony Lip really existed. His son has some part of it. But the family parts that I was just like, there's got to be some people in Brooklyn or the Bronx or wherever they're supposed to be that must be just like, oh my God, this is such a stereotype. It's the actual family playing themselves. Don't need to worry about that. Everybody in the dinner scene is the actual family playing their parents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's really, really cute.
That's cool.
Just a terrific movie and really light. Like, it just... Heavy subject matter, some dark moments, but it really is a story of a friendship. And the Mahershala Ali really is a supporting character. He has a journey, but it really is...
It's about Tony.
It's about Tony,
yeah. And it's just about him kind of seeing the world for the first time.
Outside of Jersey.
Yeah, the neighborhood. The Favorite, if you have not seen this, go see it. That director, let me find his name... He makes some fucked up movies, and I've only seen two of his. He made The Lobster.
Curtis Graham.
Who's that? Oh, that's the director.
The director.
But I'm talking about, we moved on to The Favorite.
The Favorite, 2018, director Curtis Graham.
No, his name is Yargos Lanthimos.
Got the wrong The Favorite?
Yeah. You should be spelled...
It's spelled the European way.
Yeah. It should have a U in it.
O-U-R-I.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, you really mean it.
Yeah. So... So he did The Lobster and The Killing of a Sacred Deer. The Lobster is a good time, and that has Rachel Weisz and Olivia Colman in it, and it's funny and bizarre. And this one is...
I love Rachel Weisz.
Oh, my gosh. She is so good in this. Emma Stone is terrific. Olivia Colman is fantastic.
She was the best thing about The Mummy.
And I can't remember who the guy is that dances, or Lord, I can't remember who the guy is that dances. There's a dance scene in here that just... tickled me to no end. The dialogue is fantastic. This is the first movie that Yargos has made that he didn't write himself. But this, you know, Queen Anne, due to, like, sexism, she got to be queen for, like, 5 or 6 years mm-hmm. as men were dying and, you know, people were waiting for people to come of their majority, as they call it. But so that's up for musical comedy, too. Crazy Rich Asians, but we talked about, I loved. Mary Poppins Returns, I think they have to. And then Vice, which everybody is talking about, where... Christian Bale plays Dick Cheney.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And Sam Rockwell is George W. And that is getting great reviews anywhere. So drama actor Rami Malek, John David Washington for Black Klansman, Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born, Lucas Hedges for Boy Erased. He is also out in LA and rolling out over the course of the month. Ben is back. It's another movie like Beautiful Boy about a parent dealing with a child with an opioid addiction. And in this one, it's Julia Roberts and just a really, really good performance of she kind of spends a day in the life finding out what her son was really doing, like what her idea of what the addiction looks like, and then going to find out like, who broke into their home, who stole their, like, kind of working their way through, like, who he would know and who would, like, try to hurt him, and getting a sense of, like, all the things that he has done for drugs over his short life, and just, like, getting a real picture of, like, the desperation. It was a weird way to go into that story, not just dealing with one-on-one with your child.
Is that based on a true story?
I don't think so, but Lucas Hedges' father is the writer-director of it. So, but like I said, this boy's career is just on fire. William Dafoe for Eternity's Gate. That's the movie about Van Gogh. let's see. Glenn Close, who we're hoping is not going to get... Nothing's going to stand in the way of her Oscar this year. The movie is from last year, so a lot of the Critics Awards aren't going to have it on there because they would have seen it in critics' settings last year, but it didn't get put into a theater until this year to qualify, because when it opened last year, everybody just said to stay away from...
white people?
No, what's her name? From Three Billboards. Frances McDormand.
Oh, Frances. Right.
Everybody just kind of decided once Three Billboards came out that that was Frances McDormand's Oscar, and they thought this could be Glenn Close's Oscar, but not in the same year. Like, you're not gonna pick over the scenery chewing. Lady Gaga gets a nomination at the Golden Globe. She did win for her awful performance in American Horror Story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was going to say, A Star Is Born wasn't her fault.
Right, but she's already a darling of them, and so look for her as your winner there.
Yeah,
you have Nicole Kidman, you have Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me, which in any fair year, Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me would just win that Oscar, and we could just call that off.
Can we just start writing letters? Who do we write letters to?
Tully from This Summer, if you missed it, a great performance about the woman who's trying to do everything, and she hires a nighttime nanny so that she can sleep, so that they can get a regular sleep schedule. Constance Wu for Crazy Rich Asians. Elsie Fisher, keep your eye out for this one, from that 8th grade movie. They are winning a lot of the awards because they know she's too young to probably win a Best Actress Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
So all the critics are giving her like breakthrough performance, young star. Everyone is going nuts about that 8th grade movie. That is a tough, tough movie. Olivia Colman for The Favorite. All three actresses from The Favorite are nominated. And so is Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk and Amy Adams for Vice. Everything looks like Amy Adams may finally get her Oscar, like the sixth time may be the charm. Glenn may have to go to 8 to get hers, but it looks like Amy Adams.
Give it to
is
Amy.
On
I say
track.
Amy.
Yeah. So now in the directors, when you get Alfonso Cuarón back for Roma, Peter Farrelly for Green Book. It's the Farrelly brothers who did Me, Myself, and Irene, like all those filthy, dirty movies.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they have this thoughtful thing on race in the South, and it's very strange to have a Farrelly brother. Spike Lee for Black Klansman and Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born. And then for TV, yeah, there's nothing else here exciting. Drama series, Billy Porter for Pose. So that's really good that is that on MTV?
FX,
yeah.
FX, that show that's getting all kinds of buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Got a nomination. So that's fantastic.
Because it got a lot of like social buzz in my circle. And I haven't watched it yet. Like, I saw when that was on, like, posting and posting and posting. And
yeah.
I need to find a way to that. And I haven't gone looking that hard for it because I've been stuck in Parks and Recreation from 4 years ago.
Right.
I only learned a little more about that show Pose because I hadn't watched it either. There was in an effort to get the younger generation to go to the polls and to vote and to get interested, they did a thing at Stacey's called Pose for the Polls.
They did
Pose
to the Polls.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
So I watched those kids do that, the dance pose
thing.
That
was so freaking cool.
It was amazing to watch them.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
really is cool to see these kids
do it. Whatever gets you to vote.
Yeah, and I got them energized. I hope it did for them. But anyway, but watching it, the show's got to be amazing too. Just to watch all
I've
the dancers.
I've heard nothing but good things about that and A Very English Scandal, which I couldn't find the other day because I was trying to type in A Very British Scandal and that was not helpful.
That didn't. There's plenty of British scandals out there.
So performance by an actor in a limited series or motion picture made for television. This is your time to watch Darren Criss go through a couple more award shows because of when American Crime Story came out. So he should be a SAG Award nominee any minute now too. Television, movie, comedy. You got Bill Hader for Barry, which we've talked about how funny that is. And actress drama, Julia Roberts in Homecoming, and Sandra Oh for Killing Eve. Find Killing Eve, whatever you're doing. Find Killing Eve. I don't know what network it's on. It's going to start streaming everywhere soon, but everyone is loving the show. And I guess Sandra Oh is giving like the performance of a lifetime. Amy Adams gets nominated two more times, once as a producer for Sharp Objects and once as lead actor. And then in like some of the other categories that are funny, Will and Grace, which has never won a Golden Globe in any category.
Really?
Deborah Messing gets the nomination. So, but Kristen Bell for The Good Place, Murphy Brown, Rachel Brosnahan. And then where is the last one? Alex Borstein. Borstein mm-hmm. gets her nomination
for Maisel.
For Maisel, yeah. So just, for best limited series or most featured, American Crime Story, Gianna Versace, Sharp Object, Escape at Dannemora. Find this one, too. I got to find out this is the one about the prison break. Luckily, this Golden Globe nomination just takes care of everything I want everyone to see. this is the prison break from upstate New York, where the female guard was in on it, and she was sleeping with both of them.
Yeah,
and
that's, they dug that's their way recent.
Out. Yeah.
Past few years, right?
And this is Patricia Arquette, almost unrecognizable Patricia Arquette as female guard.
Okay.
So keep an eye out for this movie. I will try to find out what where that is playing. Oh, it's on Showtime. Oh, good. I have that. Escape at Dannemora. But if you can't watch it on there, then wait till it comes to the streaming services. But it looks incredible.
So to backtrack a little bit, Killing Eve is available on Hulu.
Oh, good. Killing Eve on Hulu.
If you need a password, call me. And I probably won't give it to you, but go ahead and call me and try anyway.
Yeah.
That'd be nice to hear from you.
Right. I'd like to hear from you, and I want to know that you're listening. So.
Good night, Harrison.
But for anyone, good night, darling. honest to God, though, like all you hear people talk about is Sandra Oh, and who I can't remember what her co-star name is.
Well, and we love Sandra Oh.
Yeah, and that they're absolutely killing it on that show. Yeah, so that takes total. That's your Golden Globe highlights. The Favorite comes in with the Critics' Choice nominations with 14 nominations, topping the list. And it's all the favorites again. Black Panther, Black Klansman, The Favorite, First Man, which I loved, Green Book, If Beale Street Could Talk, Mary Poppins Returns, Roma, A Star Is Born, Vice. So you kind of get an idea that these are the 10 that are probably going to be jockeying for Best Picture.
Mary Poppins isn't out yet, right?
Christmas Day.
Christmas, yeah.
So in this list, Richard E. Grant gets in there for... Can You Ever Forgive Me as the gay best friend who's just hysterical and seriously, if we weren't all just needed Glenn Close to have a fucking Oscar before she dies, it would be Melissa McCarthy and him for the win for just the nastiest two people who've ever appeared on screen together. Just hating the entire world and fucking with them. So that's some fun award show stuff, and I think we're done with that. That's just favorites. We talked about that. We talked about that wedding. We found out who she was. Let's go to the actual list. We're just blowing through things. That went much quicker than I expected.
Very fast. Macy's Day Parade.
Oh, it's on the list.
Okay.
So we can get rid of this. So Macy's Day Parade had a very unusual thing happen that during the part where they usually showcase the musical theater acts in front of Macy's in that controlled space where they come out, they perform one song, and they always lip sync. Kelly Clarkson brought out an actual
band. Somebody was just telling me
and
this.
And her sound system, and she did Heat, which is one of my favorite Kelly Clarkson songs.
Right.
Not current. She went kind of for a deep cut from a couple years ago and sounded phenomenal, proving it can be done.
I was literally just on this rant because I was showing the poorly lip-synced My Fair Lady with Laura Benanti. At some impromptu show tunes over the weekend because I worked too much this weekend, and that's how I get through.
Yeah,
because I play a lot of show tunes when there's nothing else happening.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I was just lamenting. I'm like, why the fuck don't they just let them sing? Honest to God, we have the power, we have the technology. There are wireless mics. There's PA systems. There's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Why are we making these talented people lip sync the shit out of this?
It's God because damn it. They're going through so many companies, and to mic that many people would just be absurdity, because they knock out those six shows at the very beginning.
Well, but now they're doing a lot of them either pre-filmed or live from like the theater too, though, because Dear Evan Hansen was from the theater. That's on CBS. I know it's not on NBC
because they're not allowed to perform, so they can't they can't have access to the actual parade route, so they're out. They're just there as part of like promote New York theater, but the NBC it's the turnover. But Kelly Clarkson put them on their ear because all of a sudden they rolled out a band.
More reasons to love Kelly Clarkson.
Oh my God, if you get a chance to watch that, because I was like, there's no reason to have backup singers if you're going to lip sync. Like, they're superfluous. Like, they're tits on a whore at this point. But then, then I realized, like, she did a little ad lib, and I'm like,
oh, she's live. Oh,
she is live. And it was a very cold morning, which a lot of singers also don't
want
to do.
Right, don't want to do that in the cold.
The musicians always say that, you know, that they had to do parts of Obama's inauguration lip synced because they can't tune the instruments in that temperature. So there are some other...
I say we power the fuck through and deal with the off-key.
Yeah, so you got an off-note here and there.
I want live performances at the parade.
I do, too. I do, too.
That.
And I always...
Or do them all pre-taped from the theater like CBS does. I'm super okay with that,
right,
too.
Right. And one fun year, they just fucked up everything on CBS, and they had the two witches from Wicked on top of the Belvedere Castle in Central Park, but lip-syncing. I'm like, play a track. You can mic.
Right.
You can mic them live out there to a pre-recorded track.
Sure.
And just have them sing the shit out of that. No one's going to interrupt them. Like, there might be a little side noise, but oh well.
So what? You're outside.
The people playing for quarters over in the corner aren't complaining about the acoustics. Neither should these two.
Mom said that in the parade, she texted me about Diana Ross.
Oh, cannot lip sync to save her life. How has she never learned to lip sync?
Don't know.
Her wig was... it was its own nation. Like, it was gigantic, so you couldn't see her face for most of it.
Right.
And then she would try to flip it back, but she remade Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time.
I missed that
one. It has four lyrics. Simply having...
No, I know the song.
There's four lyrics to it.
Right. And those are all of them.
And she couldn't get it straight, and then she had all of her kids on the float. And they didn't know the song either, so they're just waving and smiling. It looked like idiots while Mom's up there fighting her wig in the wind. It was one of the most bizarre, like, unconnected to any holiday whatsoever.
Again, stop with the lip syncing.
Yeah. Especially if you can't... I don't understand how you can't do it. I don't understand that part at all.
I'm pulling up a picture of Miss Ross. I didn't say it, but she's like, it doesn't even look like her. And I'm like, well... She's probably had surgery, and maybe not good surgery.
No, she... I mean, it's just because of the hair. Like, you couldn't find her. It could have been a Muppet.
And I like how... She was very understated and dressed for this. Look at that.
Yeah, that's when...
How many Muppets died for that coat?
Well, it's also, like, 7 degrees there, so I guess.
I mean, they were all dressed beautifully for winter, but let me tell you, when she was singing, she was never facing that way. She was facing the other way where the hair was blown the other way.
Oh.
Like, you could not see her face. This is clearly her turned upwind.
See? All right.
But then the last thing, and it resulted in... Oh, we'll do the documentary first. Three Identical Strangers, out on DVD right now. Probably available somewhere from streaming. Seems like it's going to be the feel-good story of three boys that were adopted to Jewish families in New York State who accidentally found each other because one went to the college where the other one had dropped out.
Okay.
So...
And people kept mistaking him for...
kept mistaking them, and then someone walked up and was like, oh my God.
You could rent it on Amazon for $3.99.
There you go. And so you think it's going to be this feel-good story, and then you find out that... And then there's a third one. Then they meet each other, they can't believe how much they look alike, and then someone sees the picture of the twins that found each other 19 or 18 years after being separated at birth, mm-hmm. and someone else in New York State sees a picture and is like...
Wait a minute.
We have their triplets. They're not twins.
Right.
Brings the third one in. They become, you know, this crazy best friends. They have apartments together. They open up a restaurant together. They have a falling out. And then they go on all these TV shows, which I remember them being on Donahue and being on one other talk show. Like, suddenly some of the story from that time kind of came back to me. Because they were, it was notorious for a brief time. They were at Studio 54. They're in Desperately Seeking Susan.
Because I know nothing about any of this.
They were very recognizable in the early 80s.
Okay.
Because they kind of went on every single talk show. And then, like, at the peak of it, they were standing by their restaurant while they were filming Desperately Seeking Susan in New York. And the director was like, oh, you're the triplets. You got to be in this scene. So she walks by and sees... Madonna walks by, sees them.
Okay.
They had never heard of Madonna yet because it was filmed a little bit before, so she was just up and coming.
Right.
You know, she kind of got that movie role before she got famous, and then they released it because, oh, she's a thing.
Right.
So, and then, like, there's, like, a thing, like, oh, but weren't one of you, like, in jail for murder? What? And he's like, well, no, I didn't really know the person. And then you go by and you find out, like, this was some kind of a social experiment about separating, like, a nature versus nurture of separating twins and triplets at birth and then sending them out to families that had already adopted an older sibling. So all of the boys had an older adopted sister, like the same distance in age. So okay. It turns out that it was some kind of like weird science experiment about
separating. God damn it, with the 70s. God damn it.
Yeah, and it's a fucked up story of like some mental illness and like not telling these people. Like the social workers were showing up at like all hours and asking them questions and giving them tests and like testing them against each other, but they weren't intervening and saying like, there's some mental issues here that we need, that should be addressed. Like,
right.
There's separation anxiety because the ones were not separated as babies. They did spend like 6 months to a year together. And when they separated them, they
freaks
were
them out. Sure.
Very disturbed separation anxiety. They were like very sad children. And like, then you meet the other people and there's all these, there's other twins and triplets in these studies, but they disbanded the study.
And well, now thank
they
God.
But they won't it's tell
making
people
murderers.
But they won't tell people like you were part of the study or you were separated, like you have siblings. They aren't telling anybody. So you don't know if you were adopted in New York State in the late 60s, like are you a part of this experiment?
Right.
Like should you be looking for it, cuz they admitted to there being at least a couple more sets of twins, but because they never published it, no one can find
Nobody
it.
Knows.
If you know you were part of the study, they'll let you read it. And it's fucked up. So, I mean, it...
Well, what you've got to do, I mean, you've got to do it. That it's got to be that all of these 23andMe and all of that stuff, that pulls it together. Like, the second you put that in there and you put it in that website, it's like, oh, this is your mom. This is, if they've done it, mom, dad, grandparents, third cousin, fifth cousin, like it...
If I had not done that already, I would have done it halfway. I would have paused that movie and gone spit in a cup and mailed it to somebody.
So, I refused to spit in the tube. Listen, my parents were separated for like 6 months when I was like 12. I don't want to find any siblings. Fuck that. I'm not spitting in a tube.
Right. I mean, but honestly, watching that, I was like, I'm from New York.
Right. Oh, sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like adopted out in the exact age group. I think they're a year younger than me. They were adopted out in 68. So I'm okay.
So you're right there.
Yeah, this is not a normal, and my adoption's so weird anyways that you believe anything about it. Like, okay, this is all fucked up.
Right.
You know, stealing me from the hospital. But very, very, it's called Three Identical Strangers, very different than the movie I read about on the box. Like,
yeah, because when you sent me that text we're talking about, I'm like, well, that's not at all what I thought it was. Yeah. I just assumed it was a broken family and they were separated
reunited
in an orphanage.
And their beautiful smiles
so
were happily
good.
Ever
right.
after. Okay.
Oh, no. There's God. There's deception and dark stuff
and
going
murder.
On. Murder.
It was very, that was very good. And then, so you had recommended a movie called Something Like Summer, which is available at independent outlets. I think you have to, I don't know how you're going to find it. You have to go to... You saw the little clip of that movie called Closer, a short film about a guy who wants to experiment with sex. Anyway, so...
Who doesn't? That's what I'm saying.
So, but this Something Like Summer is a little teeny tiny independent movie that played the gay festival circuit last year. It's based on a book. I couldn't find the movie anywhere because I didn't go to any of the festivals. And they're still trying to find distributors for it. But the book that it's based on... which I was expecting by the cover to be like a lighthearted romp of, you know, a summer love and camp. And I thought it was going to be like a young adult novel and super sweet.
Cute, right?
No.
It is very, very sweet. Very romantic books.
It's apparently a musical.
What's that?
I looked it up on IMDb. It's a drama, musical, and a romance.
Because our character Ben can sing. So
shut the front door.
He must sing some stuff. Well, the book turns out to be this very, very, very well-written, lovely coming-out piece about this boy named Ben who has a crush on someone new to the neighborhood that jogs by. They have they meet cute.
I love a meet cute.
Yeah, they fall in love. Years pass. They go their separate ways. He meets someone else. They years pass again. So it's all told through like three sets of time when they're juniors and seniors in high school, mm-hmm. as they finish college, and then like 5 years into your real life, you find out about the first book is about Ben. And so I was like, but there's something like autumn, something like winter, something like spring, something like seduction.
Oh, gotcha.
So I picked up something like autumn, which I thought chronologically should be the next book, but I may be reading the third book in the series. And what they have done is the lovely story of Ben's college love that he mm-hmm. meets this a flight attendant named Jace, and they have a lovely, beautiful romance, one for the ages. Well, book two, or as I'm reading it, that might be book three.
It is. It goes summer, winter, autumn.
So I read autumn, and autumn, it turns out, is Jace's story. So you go back in time to when Jace was a junior in high school, and you find out about his coming out and his first love and the relationship that he has. And then you go ahead 5 years later and you get the relationship that he had with Ben, but from his perspective. All of a sudden, he is the primary character.
There appear to be six books.
Yeah, because there's like something like seduction and something like...
It goes summer, winter, autumn, forever. Something like hail, something like spring, something like thunder.
Oh, then yeah.
Good something God. Like rain, something like stories. Wait, how many fucking books are there?
There's like God. A million of
Seven.
Them.
Seven.
So to have... It was such a satisfying thing. I read something like Summer in a Day because we had no TV and, you know... I drank everybody under the table by 5 p.m. So, absolutely beautiful to finish a book, fall in love with three characters, pick up the second book, and have it be about the love of his life from the second part of something like Summer, and have that character come to life fully, find out where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole like fight scene and a seduction underneath a waterfall, where he has a reaction that you're like, that's an odd, what an interesting reaction to a relationship crisis. And you find out from his point of view, reading his book, why he would come to, like, what's haunting him, what love from his past, can he knock it over that he forgives Ben for, like, kind of having a kiss with an old love? Because, you know, once you're in love, you don't fall out of love. And... So now you're so invested in this Jace guy because you loved him in book one that now you get book two all about him. And when you read his backstory and his first high school love, I was crying so hard on the airplane.
Oh, my gosh.
Snot bubbling just from the middle of the book of how his first, like, great love ended, that the lady next to me was holding my hand. And she's like...
Oh, my gosh.
She's like, are you okay? And I'm like...
I'll be fine.
What's the book, right? I'm fine.
And the flight attendant comes up. And it's funny because there's a scene in the book where the Jace, the flight attendant, meets Ben. And when he's asleep on the plane, and when he wakes up, he's like, funeral? He's like, the only people that are on these red eyes are funerals. Uh-huh. So the flight attendant says to me as he brings me my second glass of water, he's like...
Funeral?
He's like, I'm so sorry. What are you going back for? I'm like, no, I'm going back to go home. This book is just lovely. And he's like, I've never seen anybody cry that hard at a book. And I'm like, I was just not emotionally prepared.
Well, if you're interested, there are 11 books in the series.
Oh, I'm going to be reading all 11 in the next 11 days.
And it goes in this order. It goes summer, winter, autumn, spring. So you're on book three. Then it goes lightning, thunder, something like stories, volume one, something like hail. Something like Rain, something like Stories, Volume 2, and then something like Forever. That's your 11 books in
order. Oh, my God.
And I hope something like Forever ties together the couple for the first book.
Gosh, I hope so.
But, I mean, it was just a one.
And they're affordable on Kindle.
Oh, they're like
$2
and $3.99, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I'm buying the first one right now. I'm going to send it to my Kindle.
Oh, aren't you
it's
touching.
Absolutely beautiful. And
I need to read more books.
So I can only imagine who the main character is in something like Winter, then, if that's really the second one. Unless it's the story of Ben's first love, or the tortured child that wanders through the story in the second one.
It says there are two sides to every story when you're Tim Wyman. Sometimes there are three. Tim hoped moving to Texas would mean a new beginning, but soon finds himself falling into the same tired pattern. So it appears to be about Tim.
Right. So it's Ben and Tim, in the first book, and then when Ben gets a little bit older and goes to college, he ends up with Jace. And then the book that I'm reading is Jace's story, and oh, it was just, it had Alzheimer's, it had, like, it had a
dementia was there.
It really did, and it had this at-risk teen, it had, like, suicide storylines, and our main character being helped by an old man in town that no one really knew anything about him, and it turns out his son, after Vietnam, had come back and came out of the closet, and he wasn't accepting, and he doesn't know if the son killed himself because of being in war, or did he kill himself
because of not being accepted
as being gay. But when he figures out that this kid is suicidal, he keeps him like in his life forever and just always checks in on him. But then there's another at-risk teen that's around that everybody just takes as a wild child and misses all the signs, and oh my god, I mean, it was, and it wasn't even the end of the book. It's just the middle thing of why this character turns into this lovely man that when he has a younger boyfriend and the boyfriend has a rough moment, he's just like, love is just love. Like, you're just, like, you're always going to love that person, whether they're here or they're not here for the rest of your life. That will always be a love. And it was just like such a lovely sentiment and something like, oh, I was done.
I'm in. I have read almost no books all year.
Yeah,
and I'm ready.
It's an easy read, but it's very well written. It's not an easy read because it's, you know, emotional. See Dick Run. Right. You know what I mean? It's an easy read because it's very nicely written.
Okay.
Because sometimes when you read something too fast, you realize that they didn't use complete sentences. You know what I mean? It was just
Twilight.
Runs. Yeah. Right. Exactly. This is horrible writing. But wow, that what turns out is the third book, but I'm glad I read it second. And I'm almost done with that one. So I've read the first two books in like 2.5 days.
Fantastic.
And I can't see, so without my glasses, because my eyes are just fried.
Gosh.
So, I mean, that's just, so something like Summer, if the book, I honestly don't know how they'll handle in the movie aging them the course of 10 years, because they have to go from 17 to 28. Like, how they'll handle that, but they got a beautiful boy to be Tim in the story, and it's just lovely.
Right on.
Or if they'll just do the first, you know, because that book is three different stories. The first movie could just be the first part of the first book.
Oh,
they
sure.
could Lord of the Rings that shit and make 10,000 movies out of it.
Trilogies.
And you're still on chapter two. So that was just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful reading. So I'll let you know if they stay that good.
Good to know.
But it just reminded me of my Tales of the City. It just reminded me of that, of the way they intertwine, and brutal.
Brutal.
But it was just, I haven't cried like that in a book since like A Prayer for Owen Meany. Right. It's been a long time since I had like a breakdown.
I think Hunger Games is the last book I cried at. I killed one of the younger characters, and I was just a little weepy.
You're crying on a plane with a lady holding your hand and a stewardess asking you if you
were... That's a good trip. That's a good book. That's a really good book.
Yeah, that's...
You really went through it all in this trip, didn't you?
Oh, we really did. And I think I finally...
It's a
like,
roller coaster of emotion.
Well, I really tried to keep it together through Come From Away.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly did not want to, like, let out the whale that was coming, you know?
Sure.
Because Dear Edward Hansen, I did. Because it was like, you have to breathe. You have to breathe. It's going to be ugly, but you have to take them. Because I had been holding my breath for so long that I'm like, I'm either going to faint or let out that sound. And it was
like, it sounded exactly like that. Yeah, I sounded exactly like that.
Was there a unison of that sound in the theater?
There was snot. You could just hear...
Oh my god. Yeah, and through the finale, like, it's just sniffles.
Yeah.
The entire finale is everyone going,
oh wow.
Just awful.
It was kind of like the end of Lion, yeah.
And Jacob's not wrong. Like, he said something about they bring out that bright blue light, like, so you could just look around and see how awful everyone has been crying. Can you imagine being on the stage and just looking out at everyone?
At that ugly cry.
At that ugly, ugly audience.
You're like, can we do a musical comedy next? I want to look at an adoring audience, not people going through some kind of crisis.
No, I want to see everybody in their crisis. I would have done that show with the bright blue light.
That means you're doing your job if you get them all crying.
Ah, we got them. Look at them. There's one heartless bitch in the back.
That's a movie with like seven people sing like they're 45. like, oh god, those voices were just so magnificent. Good. All right, so what was the next?
Let's see it again. We got nothing. I don't know.
Do you have two things or
I
no?
Got, no, I got no things.
You got no things?
I got no things. We blew it all on headlines.
Then we don't.
I blew my wad. Well,
based on the time we got, we don't really need to do much else. I think we've fulfilled our obligations for this show. I think
our public is tired of us.
Oh, who's not really? Talk about it.
True story.
So we'll stick a fork in it. Say it's done.
That sounds lovely.
Yes, we'll have a post show conference to wrap up some other things. But
oh, and Alan Sledge is listening. Sorry,
Alan.
I just got back, and Nero is over there as well. Nero.
My goodness, all the people that welcome are watching.
Nero.
Hello, people that are watching.
And Joe Dean and
by Nance. The way, last week you missed some impersonations. I need to drink more champagne during the show, clearly, which probably next week we'll do. But what was that? What was the? Oh, a Catherine Hepburn is what I was doing last week. Yes,
Catherine Hepburn.
We can have a Catherine Hepburn out. We can all do one.
It was good times.
So for next week, we'll think about like love of your life kind of things, like the love gone wrong.
Yeah, next week is our last show of the year.
Oh my god, is it really?
I believe it is.
Very exciting.
I think that's correct. Yeah.
If I understand calendars correctly, that may be
correct. As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
Oh my lord.